Okay, in the first part of the Shir, we spoke about whether someone can use grape juice instead of wine at the Seder. And now move on to a second question, which is whether someone with a grape juice that comes from concentrate, rather than being at its original strength, just being in its natural form, whether that grape juice is considered, whether the bracha is an agathan, and whether it could be used for Kiddush and the Dalet Kleses by the Seder. The one who had the strong position on this, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, spoke about, he wanted to suggest that why grape juice and concentrate should not be brought to Agathan, and even more so, why it should not be used for Kiddush. And he said as follows. If there's water that's in wine or grape juice naturally, of course that's considered wine. Not only that, in the times of the Gemara, it used to be that wine had to be diluted 3-1 in order to make it drinkable, and that water that was added also had the status of wine. Not only that, but the Rama says that nowadays when we don't need to water down our wines to make them drinkable, even so, the water that you add to the wine is still considered, has the status of wine, unless you add a huge amount. If you add a reasonable amount, that wine is considered, has the same status. Furthermore, grape juice is considered wine. We make a barbecue cup on it, and as we spoke about in the first part of this year, it could be used for Kiddush, and even for Nesachim. Nesachim means the wine that they used to pour in the Beis HaMikdash for the Karmel. The Rashbam says that in Babasar, that the reason why grape juice can be used for Nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash, even though the Torah says it has to be sheikhar, it has to be alcoholic, the reason is because since the grape juice could ferment into alcohol, therefore it could be used for Nesachim, it's considered alcoholic because it has the potential to become alcoholic. Therefore, after all these introductions, so Shlomo Zalman says that pasteurized grape juice, which is to say concentrated grape juice, which has been pasteurized, it can't ferment anymore. And if so, since it can't ferment anymore, it doesn't have this ability to become alcoholic. Therefore, the bracha stays hagafen, because when it was first squeezed, it was hagafen. When it was first squeezed, it was able to ferment. And therefore, it was hagafen. And it'll stay that. He said, okay, I'll accept that. It doesn't lose that prepared hagafen. However, he says, maybe that it should not be able to project that hagafen status onto water that's added in. So although wine that has water added to it, that water becomes hagafen. And although grape juice that was not pasteurized, if you added water, it does, that water becomes hagafen. Maybe in this case, since this grape juice is not able to ferment, it's not able to become hagafen. Now, Rosh Hashanah Zalman uses the words maybe and possibly. He says, yitachin shehu, like this, on the hechatesa, he says, how do we know? We need a proof. So it's not clear if he's just being humble, and really he holds this very firmly, or in fact it's he's still unsure about it. But he does actually say towards the end that we need a proof that you can add that this water can have that status. Meaning he's not closing the door on that, and we're going to see that we may actually have a proof in fact to that point. Now, so Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, okay, so now the next point is we now have a beverage which is when you reconstitute grape juice, you have one part concentrate and four parts water. So he says, well, we have one part, which is hagafen, that's the concentrate, four parts water, which he's saying do not get the status of the hagafen, in which case it's 20% hagafen, 80% shahako, and therefore he says, you're not allowed to use it for Kiddush. He says, maybe even the bracha should be hagafen. He later retracts it, and he basically comes at the end that the bracha should be hagafen. It does. The bracha is hagafen, and that's based on some rise that there are, that maybe the bracha should be hagafen if you mix them like this. But, he says, you have to prove to me that you can use that for Kiddush when something is only 20% hagafen and 80% water, that you should be allowed to use that for Kiddush. Okay, so let's just summarize what he said. Pasteurized or concentrated grape juice can't ferment, and therefore it's somewhat missing in its status of wine. The bracha might be hagafen, but if you add water to it, that water does not get the hagafen bracha, and therefore the bracha on this whole drink might be hagafen, but you should not be able to use it for Kiddush or for the Dalet Kleses at Seder. Okay, that was what Shlomo Zalman said, and that's what his basis, that you should not use grape juice from concentrate for Kiddush and for the Seder. In response to this, Rabelski and some Rabelski said he had a proof. There are two people who argued on this. One of them is Rabelsky, who had a proof from Tosis and Shabbos that you could use reconstituted grape juice for Kiddush. And it's false. The Gemara says that if a person carries something outside on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry out in the street on Shabbos, but you're only a chayiv if you carry something that has a certain meaning, something valuable to it. A piece of dust is too little, it doesn't count anything. So the Gemara says, how much concentrated wine does a person have to carry, congealed and concentrated wine, does a person have to carry in order to be considered that he carried something meaningful, and he should be chayiv for himself for carrying on Shabbos? So the Gemara says this, if a person carries a piece of congealed wine, which is the size of a kasayas, of an owl, excuse me, that person has carried enough, because were he to add water to it, that owl's size worth of congealed wine would turn into a revius of wine, and a revius is enough, and therefore that's a meaningful amount. A revius is a meaningful amount. So Tosis says, wait a second, what are you talking about? The person's only carrying out the one part of it. He's only carrying out the wine portion of it. He's not carrying out the water portion of it. So why is he chayiv if he just carried out the congealed wine part of it? So Tosis says, since when you add water back in, that water, the drink that you'd make out of this thing would be good for Kiddush, or for Kosher Bracha, you'd be allowed to use it for special purposes. Therefore, even the congealed wine by itself has already a chashivus to it, because mixed with water, it could be turned into something very worthwhile. Okay, so Tosis is saying that if you have a congealed, meaning a concentrated wine, and you would add water back to it, that it could be used for Kiddush. So much so that Tosis says that explains why you're chayiv even without the water. So Rabelsky says, you see from here, that if you have to concentrate and add the water back in later, then that's fine. Then you can use it for Kiddush. Okay, so this seems like a very strong proof. And Shlomo Zalman had said he's looking for proof. Rabelsky said, look, it seems to me we have a proof to that. Okay, so the proof is very strong. The question is whether it proves what we're looking for, because seemingly Shlomo Zalman's point was that grape juice that's concentrated has this issue. The concern is that grape juice, which does not have the alcohol, it only has the potential for alcohol, if it is in a concentrated form, then the water added on doesn't help it turn into a hagafen. But the Gemara's case was a case of wine. So what proof is there from the Gemara about wine? It's true, if you have concentrated wine, that wine can, if you add water into it, can now be reconstituted and be used for Kiddush. But the whole point of Rav Shlomo Zalman, wasn't his whole point to talk about grape juice, which did not have alcohol to it? So is there really any proof to that? So in fact, there really is. And we're going to, before we get to that, I'm going to mention a proof from a different person, from Rabbi Gedalia Felder, who had a different proof against Rav Shlomo Zalman, and through that we'll be able to understand what Rabelsky was saying also. His proof is from a Tosis in Yuma, and in order to understand it, we just have to mention two other Gemaras. The Gemara says in Sukkah, the Gemara is trying to understand which items are acceptable to use for schach, and we learn that from a pasuk that says ba'as b'cham migarnacham yikvecha. It's describing the harvest time, and the Gemara says maybe the word when it says miyikvecha, meaning it's from your wines. So the Gemara says something about wine is suitable for schach. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, maybe it's a certain kind of dried out wine, a pasty dried out wine from Sneer, and it says the Gemara says that it's as dense as a fig cake. And you could spread it over the top of your sukkah. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what it is, that's kosher for schach. Okay, that's one Gemara. Second is, the Gemara says in Yuma, it's trying to see whether the word achira, which literally means eating, does that also include drinking as well? And the Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk that says the word achira when it's describing wine. Well, if achira means it's talking about wine, wine, of course, is something that you drink. So that obviously the word achira includes not only eating, but drinking as well. That's the Gemara tries to bring that as a proof. So on that, Tosis and Yuma ask, why does the Gemara say that the fact that the pasuk used the word eating for wine, maybe when the pasuk said achila for wine, it meant out that dried out pasty wine from Sneer. The Gemara said in Sukkah, there's such a thing as a pasty wine, it's so thick, it's like dried out figs, and you could lay it across your Sukkah. So when it said eating, that's what it meant. So how do we know that the word, when it's talking about wine, it means wine beverages that you drink? Maybe it's talking about the dried out pasty wine, which of course would be considered eating. Okay, so Tosis says, one of Tosis' answers is that when the wine is in that pasty form, when it's this dried out item from Sinir, it's not edible. Okay, it's not possible to eat it at that point. And therefore, when the pasuk says you eat it, couldn't possibly be talking about that dried out stuff from Sinir. It must be talking about the liquid, and it means the liquid. Therefore, if it's a liquid, I'm just finish off the point, if it's the liquid, then it has a proof that the word achila means drinking also. But Tosfos says, the only way you could eat that dried out, pasty item from Sinir, the only way you could drink that is if you mix it with water, and then if you mix it with water, then it turns back into a beverage, and then it becomes edible again. Okay, so Rav Shelter says, so Tosfos is saying, the fact that the pasuk is calling it wine, even though you can only drink it when it's reconstituted. So you see that when it's reconstituted, it's considered wine for all purposes. The pasuk calls it wine, even though it's only wine after it's been concentrated and reconstituted. Okay? So again, the same question we had on Rogowski is, what is the proof from a Gemara that's talking about wine? Rav Shlomo Zalman's point was only about grape juice. His whole stress was on the fact that this is not an alcoholic beverage. If it's alcoholic, then if it contains alcohol, he didn't have any problems with it. So what's the proof? So it could be. The answer is like this. To both these questions are like this. The Gemara says in Saita that the art of how to make this dried out, pasty wine from Sneer is lost. Okay, the Gemara says one of the things that we don't know how to do anymore. Okay, so we don't know what it is, but we would assume that the assumption is, I believe, that it's reasonable to say that anything that would dry out the moisture to make wine into so pasty to the point that it could be spread out like dried figs, something that would be so dried out would have lost that, whatever that process was, seemingly, would have caused it to lose all of its alcohol as well, and therefore, we may use the word wine to describe it, that thing is not alcoholic. It's back to being like grape juice. And if we could say that something like that, which is inedible in its current form, and then when you add water to it, it becomes back to being edible, and that is considered wine, then the same thing should be a concentrated grape juice. We've concentrated it, and we made it that there wasn't alcohol to it at all, and even though it can't ferment anymore, since if we add water back to it, it would be drinkable, that item should be considered wine for all purposes. And the same thing we could say for Rebuski also. The Gemara's description of the congealed wine, well, we mentioned that Rebuski was talking about, that has congealed wine, is actually, if you look at the numbers, the way the Gemara describes how much water it has, and how much water you add back to it. So if you go through the mathematics of it, it comes out that their concentrate is very similar to concentrated grape juice that we have. Their, what they call congealed wine, is very similar to what we have, but our concentrated grape juice, the numbers are very similar. In that case, between 83 and 89% of the moisture had been evaporated, and then our concentrate is about 80% that's been evaporated. It was a very similar item. And the Gemara doesn't tell us how they made that stuff, how they made that congealed wine, but secular sources do talk about how they make it. And in fact, there's a thing nowadays, an Arabic thing, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, called dibs, which is made through heating the wine for long enough that you evaporate the water out. Now, what you may know is that there's alcohol as a property that alcohol evaporates at 173 degrees Fahrenheit, as opposed to water, which evaporates at a higher temperature, 212 degrees. And what that means is that if you take wine and you boil it to the point that you boil all the water out to create this congealed wine product, what's going to happen is, to get the water out, you have to heat it to 212 degrees. Well, by the time you do that, meaning once you pass 173 degrees, all the alcohol will evaporate out also. So by getting out so much of the water, you've for gotten out 100% of the alcohol. So if the Gemara's concentration was done through heating, we're making an assumption, but if we're done through heating, then the Gemara's congealed wine has very little water to it, has zero alcohol to it. And if so, the proof from Tosfos is exactly on the mark of what Rosh Hashanah was asking about. Tosfos is now talking about basically grape juice. It was wine that had all the alcohol taken out of it. Now we're back to having a grape juice. It's concentrated to a point very similar to what we have nowadays. And then Tosfos says that if you add water back to that, you make hagafen and you could use it for kiddush. So it's exactly, it seems to be exactly the proof that we were looking for. Rabelski is being what seems to be a very strong proof to what we were looking, to what Rosh Hashanah says, maybe in theory it could be, but I need a proof to it. In fact, it seems that we have a proof to it, that if we take a concentrate and we add water back to it, that item that's added back to it is now suitable for kiddush and for the dalkus. Okay. Next is Rosham Zalman asked, he said, well, if the grape juice was inedible for a time, while it was in concentrate, it wasn't really usable, maybe it's now impossible for it to be used for Kiddush anymore. And again, we have our same proof, because here the Gemara is looking at something that's very similar, just concentrated to a similar point, and seemingly it's also not, it would be as inedible as our concentrate is, and yet the Gemara is saying that it's, that, that is good for Kiddush. Okay, so to just to sum that up, at this we were holding at this point is that Rosham Zalman said he was that if the concentrated grape juice may not be able to project its status onto the water that's added into it, and that therefore it should not be good for Kiddush and Dalet Kosis and for Hagafen. And we've seen Rebelski and Rabbi Felder brought rias from two different Tosfos. And the Tosfos in Hatton are talking about wine, but we've seen that in fact that they prove that even for grape juice, it should have that same status. Now, there's another point, a smaller point is that Rosh Hashanah says that if we take a concentrate, if we pasteurize grape juice, the bracha is only hagafen because it was once not pasteurized and once suitable for turning into wine. But in and of itself, now that it can't ferment anymore, it would not really be entitled to hagafen, but it's sort of a carryover. It was once hagafen, so it holds on to that status. So if we follow that through, what would happen if a person were to pasteurize the grapes before they made it into wine? That is to say, they took the, which is a very common thing nowadays in making kosher wine, which is they take the grapes, cook them up before they squeeze the juice out of it. So it would seem, in which case, when the juice squeezed out of it, it was already cooked up. It was already not possible for it to ferment into wine. So if that would be true, so we should say that should not be hagafen. Or Shlomo Zalman saying it's only hagafen. Once it's pasteurized, it can't become hagafen. If it's already in so far, it holds on to that status. So in this case, where it was cooked up before it had that status, then the din is that it should be the bracha should not be hagafen. Okay, if that would be true, in fact, if that would be true, then many of the grape juices that we have, or even the wines that we have, wouldn't be hagafen, because that's in fact used very commonly nowadays to avoid stam yain. That's a sign. Okay. But the question is, Shlomo Zalman asks himself, that the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person cooks up the grapes, and then they make all the raisins, grapes or raisins, and he cooks them up until you get juice out of them, the bracha is hagafen. So, seems to be against what Shlomo Zalman says. So we could have either one of two choice answers to that question. Either we could say is that in fact cooked or pasteurized grape juice is considered that it can become wine. And the reason for that would be is that the pasteurization kills the yeast that live on the grapes, and therefore the grape juice won't turn into wine by itself. Because the yeast that are there on the peels that would help it are not available anymore. But if you were to leave it open to the air for new yeast to fall in, or you add a yeast of your own, it will turn into wine. And in fact, nowadays most commercial kosher wines are made like that. They pasteurize the juice and add their own yeast afterwards. Even not kosher do that. They have a very specific strain of yeast they want to add in. So either we can prove from this din that it really is considered capable of fermentation, or we could say what that the Rashbam said. We had mentioned Rosham Zalman is basing himself on the Rashbam, who said that grape juice is only wine because it could potentially ferment into alcohol. Maybe the Rashbam is only talking about Nisachim, only that for the Beis HaMikdash. There, for the Beis HaMikdash, it needs to be able to ferment. Maybe other things don't need to be able to ferment. Okay, so just to summarize, we're up to, we're winding down, but let's just summarize it. Rosham Zalman said that concentrated grape juice has some characteristics of wine, but maybe can't give that over onto the water that's added in. We seem to have proofs that a number of his assumptions and his conclusions are not correct, and for that reason, it's generally accepted that one can use grape juice from concentrate for Kiddush and the four cases. Schwartz had originally held like Rosham Zalman. Upon going through this again and hearing these different points, he did reverse that position and holds that, in fact, you could use them for Kiddush and Dalet Kosis. Now, as a little postscript to this, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if the even if one would say that the bracha on grape juice from concentrate is hagavah, even if that's the truth, he says you can't use it for kiddush because there was a time when it was inedible. While it was concentrate, you couldn't eat it. That because of that, it's impossible to use it for kiddush yetud. So it's just worth noting the following. If that's the position one would take, to note the following. Most grape juice has in it something called potassium metabisulfite, which is a preservative. They add in a few parts per million, and most grape juice has that added in as a preservative. But if a person wants to keep single-strength grape juice, I mean, they don't want to have grape juice and concentrate, one of the methods of holding it for extended amounts of time is to add in hundreds of parts per million of potassium metabisulfate, which prevents it from spoiling. But at the same time, while it prevents it from spoiling, it makes it completely inedible during that time. So that means is that, and then later they remove it before they sell it to the public. So if you're going to say, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that the fact that it was once inedible means that it could never be used for kiddush afterwards, then we'd have to seriously consider maybe even the grape juice that didn't come from concentrate should not be suitable for kiddush. Because if it was preserved by putting in so much potassium metabisulfite to keep it from spoiling, then it turns out that it also had a period in its existence when it was not edible. In which case we haven't gained anything. Or sometimes they're saying once it's inedible for a certain point, it can't be used for kiddush ever again. And it would seem that even the single strength that has never been concentrated would have the same issue.